Please be seated. It was about 4 o'clock. It was time for Kate to be home from school. Fourth grade was not going very well, and from the sound of the slam of the door, it had not improved. Her mom went up to her room and asked her about her day. "It was awful," she said. And then she filled in the details. When she had unzipped her backpack at school, her homework was nowhere to be found. Her normally nice teacher got really angry with the whole class. The morning dragged on to lunch, where she discovered that her thermos had spilt into her lunch kit. The class went outside to the playground, and her best friend decided to play with somebody else. To top it off, a big kid named Kevin had made fun of her on the bus. "It was a rotten day," she sobbed, as her mother held her. About 10 minutes later, she stopped crying. Her mom rubbed her back and gave her some Kleenex, and she blew her nose. One more hug, and then her mom went downstairs. About half an hour later, Kate's mom thought it sounded unnaturally quiet, so she sneaked upstairs to see what was happening. To her surprise, Kate was down on her knees with her hands clasped and her eyes shut, and she was murmuring something. "Honey," she said, "is everything all right?" "I'm okay, Mom. I'm just praying." "That's good," she whispered. "What are you praying for?" "Mom, I've decided I don't like this world, so I'm praying for a new one." Whether Kate knew it or not, adorable as she was rooting herself in thousands of years of Christian tradition. Ever since Jesus appeared among us, Christians have been praying for a whole new world. That's what lies behind scripture texts like the one we hear from the 21st chapter of Luke. Jesus is speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem. "The day is coming," he says, "when the temple will be dismantled stone by stone. The city will be circled by armies, and people will be forced to flee to the mountains. All that is familiar and settled will be disrupted, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And when that happens," Jesus says, "stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Now, Jesus is speaking, I think, about the final arrival of God's kingdom. The day is coming when this old world will pass away and a new creation will be given to us. Fear, fainting, and foreboding will give way to the power and the glory of the Son of Man. Confusion and distress among the people of God will turn to trust and security, justice and peace for all people. Every tear will be dried, every heart will be mended, and no fourth grader will ever again have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. This is our Advent hope, a new world of wholeness and joy. It will literally be a whole new world. However, Jesus reminds us that this new world will come only after the old world has passed away. Now, maybe we have no problem imagining the end of the world. Every year, the movie industry cranks out disaster films about global destruction. Now, they're not my cup of tea, but I know many who enjoy them. I do enjoy the Marvel movies. And maybe it's a Marvel Universe movie where a reckless villain seeks world domination with no regard for loss of life for at least half the people on the planet. Those of you who've seen that movie will get that Thanos reference. Or we buy tickets to watch a Technicolor asteroid smashing into New York City. The threat can come from above as aliens hover over the Earth's great cities, ready to blast it to bits. Or the threat can come from below as city dwellers destroy themselves in fires and violence. There is no lack of images about the end of the world in our secular culture. But what we lack in our secular culture is a good picture of the new creation. Not long ago, Hollywood gave us an epic movie starring Russell Crowe about a biblical story of Noah's Ark. As we have come to expect, the scriptwriter mixed up the sequences of the biblical events, but the essential story stayed the same. A flood wipes out the entire known world. As the book of Genesis says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. So God decided to wash away human wickedness in the waters of a flood, and only Noah's family and pairs of every animal were spared. When the rain began to fall, it looked to them like the end of the world. But God gives a blessing as the water recedes. The Lord tells Noah and the animals to be fruitful and to multiply. It is the great do-over of creation. There is a new opportunity to make good on the original blessing. It's the first chapter of Genesis all over again, and it looks like a whole new world. But remember what happens next. Noah gets intoxicated. A scandal divides his family. A curse is reintroduced into creation. It wasn't a new world after all, but merely a replanting of the old, familiar field. Same old, same old. As Advent begins, we must ask ourselves if we will settle for that. Do we simply want a continuation of what we have seen and known? Or do we hope for something far greater? Jesus said, "Keep watch over the fig tree and all the trees. Suddenly they sprout leaves, and you know the summer is around the bend. In the same way, watch for signs that the kingdom of God is at hand." Where are the new signs of life popping up around this community of faith? Do we recognize the new buds of God's promises? It's possible to read the signs that we see in our lives, whether it's our own disappointments over a no-good rotten day, or our disturbance over events that we see every day in the 24-hour news cycle and get a little discouraged, or maybe a lot discouraged. We look for God to come and bring us a new kind of hope, a new kind of life, hoping for change, but maybe forgetting the part where Jesus invites us into that kind of disruption of the status quo that it takes for new things to emerge. We might hope for our kids to be okay, or pray for good health for ourselves or for our loved ones. We might be disturbed by the images of Central American families seeking refuge, and we might be worried about the scientists' warning bells about global warming. But are we ready for the old to fall away? Whether we pray for a new future as a community of faith, or a new future for our world as a whole, it is God's promise to make something new. This new kingdom is inevitable, and by that, God makes us new and calls us into change as we stand up and raise our heads, awaiting face on our inheritance of God's redemption. Now, that isn't an adrenaline-pumping movie. That is the heart of our Advent hope. The good news for Advent is that we don't have to expect a logical continuation of everything that we've already known and seen. because something different is on the way. As theologian Walter Brueggemann notes, what we ready ourselves for in Advent is the sneaking suspicion, the growing awareness, the building restlessness that this weary world is not the one that God has in mind. God will work another world according to the person and passion of Jesus. The day is coming when the love and justice of Jesus Christ will fill the universe. According to Jesus, it can only happen after that world as we know it is unplugged and dismantled. Do we want that? Sometimes it's so easy to say yes. Think of how wonderful it would be to see the end of all the stuff in the world that makes us sick. Petty jealousy among family members, mean-spirited backbiting amongst neighbors, poverty and overconsumption, violence and destruction, racism and hatred. Wouldn't it be nice to get a huge garbage can and just throw all that stuff away? That's what I pray for. But then I'm reminded of my own complicity in maintaining the status quo and perpetuating the imbalance of power. I drive my car more than I ride my bicycle. I'm glad to have drinkable water from my household taps, but I've done nothing to advocate for First Nations communities in this country that are still boiling their water for drinking. Lamb of God, have mercy on me. I enjoy my freedom to worship, to walk the streets as a woman without fear of harm or violence, knowing that in other countries around the globe, this is unthinkable. My children grow up Canadian. Never will I need to drag them across the terrain by foot, fleeing for our lives and hoping for entrance into a bordering country. Lord, please bring about the changes. Do over. Seemingly small freedoms that are kept from so many in the world and easily justified to our friends and children as that's just the way the world is. Yet when we see these injustices of the world, what if we considered that they are a sign that can shake the heavens and prepare us for what God really has in store? In personal moments like these, the Holy Spirit is God's subversive advocate. We can expect the Spirit to disrupt us until we are ready to receive what God has prepared for His beloved children and His cherished creation. Heaven and earth as we know it will indeed fall away, but God's word will not. As Walter Brueggemann goes on to say, Advent asks if we are bold and sharp enough to speak the hurt that belongs to our weary world. It asks if we are ready and open enough for a newness to be given. It asks if we know the name of God to whom we belong, of the Lord whom we confess, of the coming of the one whom we wait for, and if we trust that the one enough to relinquish the old world. A whole new world is at hand. All the promises of Scripture will come true. The poor will be filled with good things, and the selfish brought down from their thrones. The nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks. No more shall there be an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. A wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the ox and the fatling together. The pure in heart shall see God, and the brokenhearted shall dance. God will be with us to wipe away every tear from every eye. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. A piece of bread and a sip of wine will be transformed into a banquet where every hungry guest shall be satisfied. These are the previews of what God promises. They give us a glimpse of the whole new world that God intends. The new creation will not come cheaply. Every vested interest in the old order will be challenged by the word of Christ. But God will stop at nothing until the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And even so, we pray for God's new world. Come, Lord Jesus. We await you. Amen.